بسم الاب والابن والروح القدس الاله الواحد امين. خريستوس انستي، اليسوس انستي، المسيح قام، بالحقيقه قد قام. اهنئكم ايها الاحباء في كل كنائسنا القبطيه في عبر المسكونه كلها بهذا العيد وبفرح افراحنا. اود ان ارسل تهنئتي الى الاباء المطارنه والاباء الكهنه والشمامسه ومجالس الكنائس الأراخنة، وأيضا إلى كل الشباب وإلى كل الأطفال وإلى كل الأسر. أرسل هذه التهنئة من أرض مصر وهنئكم وأفرح معكم بهذا العيد. عيد القيامة له وقع وله تأثير في حياتنا جميعا، لكن أنا أحب أن أنا يكون تأملي في هذه الدقائق المعدودة عن لماذا نحتفل بعيد القيامة ونعطيه كل هذه الأهمية ونحتفل به على مدى 50 يوما كاملا. لأن احنا بنعتبر ان 50 يوم الخمسين المقدسة هي لونج ساندي، هو يوم احد طويل بنحتفل فيه بالقيامة المجيدة. 3 اسباب احب احطها قدامك واحنا بنحتفل بعيد القيامة المجيدة. اولا، القيامة اروع حدث في تاريخنا وفي حياتنا. القيامة، قيامة ربنا يسوع المسيح في اليوم الثالث، يعتبر اهم واروع حدث في تاريخ كنيستنا. عندما نعود الى احداث الاسبوع الماضي، وهي احداث اسبوع الالام كلها، نجد ان الصليب والقيامة وجهان لعملة واحدة. والصليب يؤدي إلى القيامة، والقيامة جاءت من الصليب. ثم صوم الكبير كله بأسابيعه وأحاده، ثم وصلنا إلى أسبوع الآلام بكل نسكياته، وجئنا إلى يوم جمعة الصلبات لكي ما نقول مثلما قال بولس الرسول: مع المسيح صلبت، فأحيا لا أنا بل المسيح يحيا في. القيامة، القبر الفارغ، والقيامة، الحراسة التي كانت على القبر، والحجر الكبير الذي وضع على باب القبر. وبعد 3 أيام قام ربنا يسوع المسيح. الشواهد الأثرية والتاريخية كثيرة جدا، ولكن يضاف إليها أيضا الشواهد النبوية. فمثلما كان يوناني النبي 3 أيام في بطن الحوت و3 ليالي، هكذا كان ابن الإنسان ربنا يسوع المسيح في بطن الأرض 3 أيام و3 ليالي. في العهد القديم، في الضربات التي كانت على أرض مصر أيام فرعون وموسى النبي، ظل الظلام 3 أيام على أرض مصر، ثم انقشع وظهر النور. عشان كده مجرد أن المريمات يروحوا بالحنوط ويحطوها على القبر، وهم رايحين هناك إلى هذا القبر عشان يضعوا الحنوط كشيء من أعمال الوفاء، ولكن يفاجأوا أن العبارة اللي قال عليها الكتاب المقدس: الذي يرقد هنا ليس هو ها هنا لكنه قد قام. القيامة أروع حدث في تاريخنا وفي حياتنا. السبب الثاني اللي بيخلينا نحتفل بالقيامة المجيدة هذا الاحتفال الممتد كثيرا، أن القيامة كما قلت أنها جاءت من الصليب، ولذلك كما علمنا المتنيح أبونا بشوي كامل أن مسيحية بلا صليب كعروس بلا عريس. وبدون القيامة لا يكون لنا أي إيمان مسيحي. القيامة هي أساس الإيمان وأساس عقيدتنا، هي التي تقوم عليها مسيحيتنا. فبلا قيامة لا توجد كنيسة، ولا يوجد إنجيل، ولا توجد كرازة، ولا يوجد أساس لإيماننا. لذلك القيامة، وده السبب الثاني، بنحتفل بيها لأنها هي أساس الإيمان. عشان كده أول كلمة بنقولها في تسبحة نص الليل قوموا يا بني النور، ده إشارة إلى القيامة. في مديحة أربصالين نقول رسلوا للذي صلب عنا وقام، في وسط التسبحة تسبحة الثلاث فتية. هي أساس الإيمان في حياتنا. عندما نصلي صلاة باكر كل يوم بنحتفل بعيد القيامة، وبنورك يا رب نعين النور. لما بنحتفل كل يوم حد ونروح الكنيسة، هذا هو اليوم الذي صنعه الرب، وبالتالي تصير القيامة هي أساس إيماننا، ولا يكون لنا رجاء في الأبدية إلا بسبب قيامة ربنا يسوع المسيح. الأمر الثالث الذي بسببه نحتفل بعيد القيامة ويمتد احتفالنا كل هذه الأيام، أن القيامة هي مصدر أفرحنا ومصدر سلامنا. لما بتقرأ وياي في إنجيل معلمنا يوحنا في إصحاح 20 وعدد 20 يقول كده: ففرح التلاميذ إذ رأوا الرب. فرح التلاميذ إذ رأوا الرب لما ظهر لهم في العلية، وكانت الأبواب مغلقة وحالة من الخوف والرعب في داخلهم، لكن كان ظهور ربنا يسوع المسيح في وسطهم، وابتدى بالكلمة دي: سلام لكم. فكان صارت القيامة هي سبب فرح، وصارت القيامة هي سبب السلام، وده اللي بيخلينا بنسمي الإنجيل هو البشارة، يعني الفرح. كل مرة بتمسك إنجيلك أنت بتتعامل مع مصدر الفرح في حياتك. بنسمي عيد القيامة الإستر، وجام الإست اللي هي الشرق، اللي هي النور، اللي هي البهجة، اللي هي الفرحة، هي السلام بالنسبة للإنسان. هذا هو اليوم الذي صنعه الرب، فلنفرح فيه ونبتهج. أهنئكم جميعا، وأهنئ كل إخوتنا الأحباء من الأباء المطرنة والأباء الأساقفة والأباء الكهنة والشمامسة وكل الخدام في كل كنيسة، كل شعب كل كنيسة، أهنئكم. ونصلي جميعا من أجل سلام العالم ومن أجل سلام كل الأحباء، ونرفع صلوات خاصة ونحن نفرح بهذه القيامة من أجل هذا الوباء الذي تعانيه البشرية، لكي ما يحفظ الله جميع البشر في كل مكان ويرفع هذه الضيقة عن الجميع، ويجعلنا نفرح بهذه القيامة المجيدة في حياتنا. السلام أنقله إليكم من أرض مصر، وهنا من المقر البابوي بالعباسية بالقاهرة، وأهنئ الجميع في كل الإبرشيات في قارات أوروبا وأمريكا الشمالية وكندا وأمريكا الجنوبية وأفريقيا والكرسي الأورشليمي، وأيضا في منطقة الخليج وأسيا، وأيضا في أستراليا. تحياتي ومحبتي للجميع، رجاء لكم كل خير وكل صحة، وخريستوس أنستي، أليسوس أنستي.
I'll read Grace Bishop Yusuf's message. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. My beloved children, Christ is risen. Truly He is risen. I wish you a joyous, glorious feast of resurrection. Christ's ministry gave special attention to four important elements in life, which are family, friends, forgiveness, and faith. His resurrection initiated a new beginning in Him with four features accompanying life's journey, which are hope, happiness, healing, and heaven. The Lord's focus was never just on our sins, but on how to make us better. During the Holy Great Fast, we became acquainted with broken families, marital discord, loneliness, and helplessness. By these examples, the Holy Gospel narrated to us the sufferings and humiliation people endure, whether it is through social, emotional, or financial hardships. Yet Christ's message was on building our spiritual resilience, for which we must strive. His conversations were to lead us to salvation. He encountered every type of misery to allow us to see ourselves in these individuals and to take note of our own weaknesses. We can recognize something in these lost souls that resemble some unflattering traits in ourselves, and may finally realize that as He drew near to them with compassion, He sees us in our wretched state. If only we would allow Him to make us whole, we would find true peace, for He is the King of Peace. His words and actions profess His amazing love. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Through His death and resurrection, He is rebuilding us. He is constructing our thoughts and our hearts, as prophesied by Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. How can He refer to Israel as a virgin when she often played the harlot by consistent idolatry and abandoning God for greedy pursuits to gain worldly power, riches, and the pride of life? What hurt Christ the most were not the whips nor the cross nor the tomb, because His love covered our shame. What hurts Him the most, even until now, is the destruction of the family. He gently provided a profound message on preserving marriage and restoring the family unit. The disassembling of the family had been a key weapon at Satan's disposal from the beginning. He tried to sow a wedge between Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Moses and his siblings, and Saul and Jonathan. The prodigal son and the Samaritan woman were also products of the vicious attacks on marriage and the family, and the outcome of discord is more and more evident in today's societies and toxic cultures. Godly friends are harder and harder to find. Even the Lord encountered disloyal friends. Out of 12, only one, Saint John the Beloved, stayed by his side during the hardest time and proved to be the truest friend and disciple. Though this is the only disciple who did not endure martyrdom, his faithful proximity to the Lord during His crucifixion and death may have been much harder to endure than if He had been martyred Himself. He also stepped up to care for Saint Mary for the remaining years of her life. With all the pain that Christ endured and could barely breathe until He hung on the cross, He had to secure a safe shelter for His dear mother, whom He highly esteemed. It is no wonder that our earthly church fathers fought vehemently against all heresies that denied that Saint Mary is the Mother of God. The Holy Resurrection is not just a miracle, but it is the transformative power of Christ's resurrection and converting stony hearts that is more astounding. No acts of miracles and no persuasive rhetoric convinced the foreign career thief, a forgiven career thief, but He swiftly took paradise by His sincere repentance. Faith captivated the centurion, whose life would end in martyrdom, and happiness was found at the empty tomb by a hopeful servant who had been exorcised of 7 demons. The Lord's greatest joy was and still is in healing relationships. Thus, the restoration of the Apostle Peter was foremost on his healing agenda to rebuild relationships. Let us build and rebuild, not merely buildings and structures, but marriages, families, and godly relationships. Onward to heaven, the Lord led His disciples to witness His ascension, and unto heaven we must fix our eyes, confidently and joyfully striving to enter into His kingdom. We pray for our honored Father and Patriarch, His Holiness Pope Theodosius II, and beseech the Lord to preserve his life upon his throne for many years and peaceful times. God bless you, signed His Grace, Bishop Yusuf. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As I was thinking on this joyous occasion, what to speak about, I was overwhelmed, with joy, despite the passions and everything, during this week. The fact that we're all here together and we're able to celebrate, the Passion Week together, I couldn't think of anything any more fitting to speak about except for joy. And I'm sure many of us share the same sentiment. that it's a joy and privilege and honor for us to be together in the church again, praying as one body. And really, this is a heavenly gathering. Heaven is a place like this where we'll all be in close proximity with one another, praising and worshiping God. And I think we all felt the difference between last year and this year. But as we share in this joy and are able to come together, there are many in the world who are still stricken by COVID-19, and they can't share as we are sharing. So maybe as you know, we pray in the liturgy today, we pray for our brothers and sisters, those who have lost loved ones during this pandemic, and those who are suffering. We offer our prayers to them that hopefully soon they can join us and be restored to their communities as well in fellowship with one another. If we look at the day of resurrection, it is the day of joy. You know, in the early church, they used to call this feast the feast of Pascha. Pascha is not only the passion part, but it's actually the resurrection. So the whole week is called the Pascha week, which means Passover. So this was a joyous time. If you look in the history of Israel, the day of Passover, when they celebrated it, was the crown of all feasts. The Passover feast is when they were spared and given life, and they were saved from the enemy, Pharaoh and his enemies. And it's because of this that the church chose Exodus chapter 15 to pray in the midnight praises every night. This is the first canticle, the first host. We pray it every night, and this is the praise that the people of Israel chanted after they crossed the Red Sea and God saved them. So we will speak briefly this evening about what is today? What is the joy that today brings? The joy of the glorious Feast of Resurrection. Number one, it brings us joy because victory over death. Death no longer has its sting or its hold on us. And we are here rejoicing not that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because this is something natural for Him. He is the life giver. He is God. Satan never had any authority over Him and will never have any authority. His resurrection and life is the normal for Him. Whenever He would go around and He would see people, He would restore life, restore healing, right? This was normal. But the greatest of the miracle that happened today is that He took you and I's nature and resurrected what was destined to death, gave us victory over death. So we rejoice that He took our nature through His incarnation unto Himself and raised our nature in Him. And we saw this beautiful exchange on Holy Great Friday. You know, when the Lord stood up and He was with Pilate, they had a robber who was with Him, which, what was his name? Barabbas. And you know what Barabbas means? Bar in Hebrew means the son, and Abbas means father. So his name means the son of the father. So you had the son of the father on one end, who was a criminal sentenced to death. And then you had on the other side the Son of God, capital S, right? Who was perfect, unblemished, ready to take on the burden of the world on His shoulders. So we see they asked the people whom they want released, and they said they want the Son of Man. They want the Son, the Barabbas, released to them. So we saw at the expense of Christ, the children of men, or the sons of man, were released, were given life, and He took the penalty of death upon Himself. So we see, even from this moment and before, that Christ took on Himself the penalty of death on our behalf. And now we can say, joyfully with St. Paul, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So death no longer has the place and has a grip on those who believe and trust in the Lord. That's why in the Litany of the Departed, we call it the Departed. We don't say this is the Litany of the Dead. And in the Litany we say, there is no death for your servants but what? A departure. Very different. Death is an end, but departure is just a changing of location. And this is exactly what it is for us. When one of our beloved depart, it's a departure from one life to the next. From maybe an inferior life to a greater life. The second joy that we have in the resurrection are that the gates of Hades and the gates of paradise were both open. Prior to the resurrection, all of humanity was condemned to Hades. righteous or not righteous. From David, Abraham, all of the righteous men and women in the Old Testament, they all were condemned to Hades. After the resurrection, heaven and paradise was open to mankind. And in the Psalm 16, David, he says what? For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Sheol is Hades. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So he knew that his end was Sheol, was Hades. But he had faith in the resurrection. The Messiah would come and he would restore those who were in captivity in Hades. Now I said both the gates of paradise were opened and also the gates of Hades. Who has the keys of Hades? The Lord tells us in Revelation chapter 1, He says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forever, amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So the Lord has the keys to both Hades and paradise. Those who will enter with Him, He has the keys. Those whom He will keep out, He also has the keys. That's why in the hymn that we chanted today in Arabic, Ya kullu safuf, in English it's all you heavenly orders. There's a beautiful verse in there that says what? He led Hades captive and crushed the brass doors. He utterly broke the bars of iron and for us exchanged punishment for salvation. He exchanged punishment for salvation. This is why we hear the Lord on the cross when He tells the right thief, He tells him, today you will be with me where? In paradise. Paradise was open and the gates of Hades were open. And the Lord went and descended to Hades and took the righteous souls into paradise. The third reason for our joy during this blessed feast is our sins can be transformed into holiness. The sins that plagued my life before can be transformed into holiness. Listen what the Lord says to His disciples. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So He gave us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That's how a man like Saul, when he met the Lord Jesus, was able to be transformed into St. Paul that we know, the great evangelist of the Christian faith. That's why we see in the life of St. Peter himself, he denied the Lord three times and cursed that he didn't even know Him. But through the joy and the power of the resurrection, it transformed St. Peter, who was, perhaps we could say, a coward at the moment. Hope he forgives me for saying that. To being a courageous evangelist, who preached on the day of Pentecost to those same people who wanted him dead. And he converted 3,000 souls on that day. We are overjoyed today because our sins can be transformed into holiness. Number four is that we rejoice today because the scales have been balanced. The scales are balanced. Injustice will be rightly justified. Now, I don't mean injustice like what you hear in the media now, because sometimes it's used in a way that perhaps is intended to harm others. But this is not how the Lord looks at it. But He looks at justice as being the recompense of those who have labored and suffered unwarranted hardship. Those who have suffered hardship, whether, you know, by natural consequences or by those imposed on them by others. We saw yesterday, those who attended the Apocalypse Night, the beautiful story of Susanna, right, who was accused falsely by two judges of Israel and was going to be sentenced to death. And if it wasn't for Daniel and his wisdom and the grace that God gave him, he saved her. And he exposed both of these judges as being false witnesses. Right? So we see the scales were balanced. We also see the story of the rich man and Lazarus, who the rich man treated Lazarus very poorly in his life. And his lot was to live a poor life in this world. He accepted this, lived this way. But then we see the end of this. The scales were balanced. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man was taken to Hades. Not because he was rich, but because he showed no mercy on Lazarus. So the joy of today, the balance is, the scales are balanced in the resurrection. So this gives us hope. There is no room and no place for despair in our life. Whether I'm going through a hardship or not, the scales will one day be balanced. The suffering that I'm enduring now will be recompensed in the coming age. Lastly, the joy that we share today is being in the presence of the Lord or being reconciled to the Father. The Lord's resurrection confirmed the acceptance of God the Father's of the sacrifice of His Son. That's why if you paid attention in the book of Acts today, it said that God the Father raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Not that the Lord Jesus didn't do it of Himself, because He said, I have the power to lay it down and take it again. But He said the Father raised Him as being the seal of approval of the Father. That this the Lord Jesus wasn't condemned and hung on the cross as a criminal, but He was hung on the cross as a propitiation or a sacrifice for all of the sins of the world, coming to reconcile us. Reconcile, in the Orthodox understanding, is the bringing back, the restoring of a relationship. Or, I guess we can say now, like the making up, right? So He restored this relationship between us and the Father that was formerly broken by sin. That's why St. Paul says in Ephesians, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, meaning Jews and Gentiles, that's how they separated all the people at the time, and has broken down the middle wall of separation between us and God the Father, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. So this middle wall of separation between us and the Father has been broken down. Lastly is, how can we express our joy? How can we express our joy in a godly way and an acceptable way? Number one is to praise God, to praise Him, to sing praises of Him. In Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul tells the people, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing and praising God is a way we give thanks to Him and a way we express our joy that is acceptable to Him. Number two is to gather and share your joy with one another. To share our joy with one another. Right? This is, yani, something that is pleasing to the Lord. And not indulging in, you know, the sins of the world or becoming stumbling blocks for others in the midst of our gathering. No. But to share in the joy of the Lord. To speak about Him. To offer Him praise. And to share in fellowship with one another. And lastly, we can show our joy to the Lord and our thankfulness to Him by partaking of His body and His precious blood. In Psalm 15, in the Septuagint or in the Egbeia, the psalmist says, what shall I render to the Lord for everything which He has done unto me? So he asks the question, what can I give the Lord in exchange for everything He has done for me? And he responds and says, I shall take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What is the cup of salvation? It's the body and blood of the Lord. And you notice here the interesting thing is that, you know, we want to show the Lord thanks and express our joy to Him for what He has given us. And how does He do it? Does He want us to offer something to Him? He says, no, come take something else that I've offered you. And that is My body and blood. So this is Him. He gives perpetually and we are taking. The little we have, whether it's our service, our offerings, our labors, we offer it to Him. But certainly it's not His recompense for all that He showers us with. Today is the day of joy. And I pray that we're all filled with joy during this feast, and we can share with one another in this beautiful occasion. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti.